I don't know, Millie, I don't know why I have to bring you in now. I'm not going to ask you to defend insurance companies. Welcome to WGN once again.
Hi, John. I think your real point...
Well, I just hung up on Millie. Nope, let me get her back. Millie, let me start that. You think my real point is what?
That everything is a little more complicated than it looks like on the surface.
Thank
right?
you. Yes. Well
so
said,
gotta,
Millie.
You got to actually think and look and, yeah.
So that's a long way of
bringing up good stuff.
Oh, I appreciate that. So that's a long way of saying that I'm right?
It's a long way of saying that you're right. You know, insurance companies are taxed differently than other companies as well. So they have a lot of advantages.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
You get a few hurricanes, a few this, a few that going through, and they can have a really, really bad year. So...
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of back and forth to it.
There's a middle ground that could be reached with more regulations and with state boards looking at things in a smart way and asking for that transparency. Obviously, with publicly traded companies, we get a lot of transparency just to make sure what they are saying is true, right? Are they really losing money in the state? Let's make them justify their increases. I think that is a fair question to ask and hold their feet to the fire when reasonably done so. I just think we all, as a society, do better when we have a healthy insurance ecosystem overall. I guess that's my point. And it does suck to pay more. I mean, there's no two ways around it.
It really does. It really does. But I have kids, and they've crashed cars, and I've appreciated the fact that we were insured.
Yeah.
I mean,
so blame Millie Palmer's kids for our rates going up. There you go. Navigant Law,
they're
you
good
do.
Kids.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. You do estate planning and you help people out on the setup of their own, or maybe help them out if they're trying to deal with something. And let's go to Janet right away, Millie. You ready for a call?
I sure am.
Janet, thank you so much for holding during my diatribe, which is not a popular one. Thanks for coming on WGN.
Thank you.
What's your question?
So I am handling an estate, I'm the executor. And there are three heirs. One of the heirs is a brother who's on disability. So the attorney suggested we set up a trust so that the brother who's on disability doesn't lose all of his assets. And this is all new territory for me. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that you can recommend that I should be aware of when I'm entering this new territory?
That's a great question. I'm glad you got Millie on the line about this. Millie, your thought generally about the advice of, if you have a brother with some different abilities, getting a trust to button things up a bit on that end?
Well, I wonder, is the trust that's being administered because we have a decedent, somebody is already passed on?
Yes, that's correct.
So first of all, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Does the document that you're administering, does it talk about how your brother takes? In other words, does he take outright or does he take through a trust?
It will be through a trust.
So if the document offers flexibility, so here's what I'm getting at. If your brother has an immediate right to take his money and run, to my kids an equal share. Here you go, Joey, take your money. Even if he then allows it to be put into a special needs trust for his benefit, it might not qualify as a third party special needs trust. It might be considered him contributing to a special needs trust for his own benefit. I would look very carefully at how it's worded and structured, because if you're going to hold it long term for his benefit, trying to preserve his benefits he gets from the government, you need it to not be a first party special needs trust. So in other words, I can't throw my money in a trust for me and say, I'm going to send it over there. Hey, government, I'm broke. Give me money. If he can just take the money, if the will or trust allows him to just grab it, then you might have an issue. If the will or trust allows for the trustee to use discretion to make that decision, then it might be considered a third-party special needs trust, which is a much better world to live in.
Well, this is the devil's really in the details, huh, Millie?
It's really in the details. The other thing is that special needs trust can't pay for his housing. So a lot of times you want that trust itself to enable us to fund an ABLE account where you put money in for specific uses. So you really got to get the details right on all of it. And, you know, a lot of it depends on what your brother's needs are.
Right.
Yeah, he currently lives in a facility, so he doesn't, I mean, all of his needs are being taken care of.
Okay. So then this is what we kind of refer to as warm blanket money, you know, for things like to make his life a little better, like going out to on a family vacation, maybe paying for an aide to go with him, getting dental care, right? Getting hearing aids, those types of things that might not be covered by state-based aid. So I would really want to look at that carefully, though, on how it's worded, because you may or may not be able to do it.
Okay.
If it's a first-party special needs trust, then you may be able to ask a judge to reform the documents. I mean, there's ways to maybe get around, but, I mean, you got to really know what you're dealing with on it and ask the attorney to really dig in.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
And I sure, Millie, and obviously, Janet, you probably have an attorney, and they obviously seem, they might know exactly what they're doing and know everything that Millie knows. I'm just going to give you Millie's number, Janet, in case you wanted a second opinion or just to talk through something again. 847-253-8800. It's 847-253-8800. And I'll say it a few more times, Janet, on the program if you missed it, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your help today.
Thank you, Janet. You're on the right track.
Welcome.
And good
luck.
And Millie, for me, she's calling. Obviously, she's thinking about the right questions, right?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, I like when people want to do it the right way. And obviously, her person that named her as executor or trustee knew that she would be a good person for the job. She's going to think about it, try hard, try and make good decisions, get good advice.
Broadly speaking, for kids with different abilities, intellectual or physical, and obviously this question kind of depends on like what you're asking, what is the level of disability? But generally speaking, there are trusts to help solve these problems for your kids that might be, I'm not saying you specifically, Millie, but generally speaking, to try and outline a plan for this sort of stuff. Meaning, if you have a child that has a different ability or a disability, there are trusts that can help you make decisions that will help them in the future. I guess what I'm asking, Millie, more than anyone, people that have kids in these situations need to really be thinking about all this stuff.
You know, John, you were right in the first part of your sentence. People who have kids need to be thinking about this stuff. So when you have a child that is born with a special need or a different set of abilities, those are identified for you, and you might not know how to deal with it or what to do, and it might change over time. But any kid, any given day, can wind up needing a special needs trust, right? We're all one car crash away from needing that in there. And so either setting up the supplemental needs trust to start, because we know the child will be using state-based benefits, or putting an alternative special needs trust and the ability of the trustee to fund it that way in the document, so that if things go south in the future or sideways or et cetera, then we're okay.
So you
None of us can see the future.
So I see what you're saying, that you can develop a trust that anticipates things that, God forbid, don't happen, but you know, here's where our money's going to go if everything is perfect. Here's where it's going to go if X, Y, or Z happens, right? You're able to do layers as opposed to a will, which I think you're the one who calls it a Polaroid, which
it's
right,
a snapshot in a will.
Right. Whereas a will goes, click, here's the picture of my family as it stands at the moment that I sign this. And boy, does anyone have a family that is the exact same as it was 30 years ago in terms of who needs what or who's alive or who isn't? I mean,
no.
That example right there, I think, Millie, is maybe the best example that I've heard yet for why you should get a trust, because you don't know what could happen to your kids in the future, too. And you do not want to set them up in a situation where there is even more complications that already exist through probate.
That's exactly right. You don't want it to go through the probate court system or really. So, you know, I think the judges do a good job. I think the laws are well written and well constructed, but they're onerous. They're there to make you take every single step, every single process along the way in order to protect the creditors or to protect the disabled beneficiaries or whatever that may be, right? But you can do this all privately within the confines of your family or using a corporate trustee if you want some outside guidance. So there's ways to put things together in a way that's going to avoid having to be at the mercy of the court, the ways to avoid having to be in the public eye, and kind of plan in the alternative. I think of it as like a switch or a toggle. If this happens, do that. If that happens, do this.
Hmm.
Right? It's if statements.
I would also say that people that want to set up trusts on their own, I know there's ways to do it, and all the power to you. I don't know if I'd know all the toggle switches, right, Millie? I wouldn't even know what questions to ask. You've probably put together so many of these. Who's the pup in the background, by the way, Millie?
Oh, that's my dog, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
I'm up north, and my husband's on the dock fishing, and Jack thinks he's a fisherman. So my husband must have something on the line.
Ooh.
Jack gets very excited.
Ooh, maybe a good walleye, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass. You let us know when.
Yeah, a little something, yeah.
But the point is, I don't know what the toggle switches are. You do.
Well, and you know, the fact is that we don't know which one you're going to need, so we put in the likely ones that could be needed, right? I mean, I'm not going to cover every circumstance under the sun, but we're going to hit a lot. We're going to shotgun a lot of toggle switches in there that are pretty common, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's that kind of, you know, you don't know what you don't know, too, when you're drafting.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this work for God, a long time, John. A long, long time, decades. And I still learn something new all the time.
I think you really like your job, too. And I know you really like helping out all people, but WGN listeners as well.
I do. They're the best.
847-253-8800. 8800. 847-253-8800. We're not done with Millie Palmer, so get on the line right now. 312-91-7200 is the phone number. That's the text line, too. Get your questions in. Millie Palmer will answer as many as we can before 3. Don't wait, though. The number of calls we get at 2:57 p.m. sometimes for Millie sometimes drives me a little crazy. So get them in right now. Millie, we're going to take a break. Then we got the news, so you have plenty of time to figure out what fish that was, okay?
Okay, sounds good, John.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Millie Palmer from Navigant Law does estate planning. And Millie, first of all, you're calling us so kindly on one of your weekends away up north. Your husband, Jack. No, the dog is Jack. Sorry.
The dog is Jack. My husband's Russ.
And Russ caught any fish out there Jack was barking about?
No, Jack, I guess, was barking at the lure itself. Jack is just very excited.
Yes. Well, it looks like a fish, in fairness, I assume.
It does.
Okay. I'm glad we settled that. No surprise, Millie, the caller that we had earlier, I forgot her name, I'm so sorry. She brought up a great question, Janet, about sons with disability. And we've had a couple now questions and comments about that on the text line. First, Kathy from Oak Park with a comment, and I think it's just a good one to reiterate, and I think you'll agree and give it a thumbs up, is John and Millie, the special needs heirs, if he's in a facility, no doubt he's probably on Medicaid. He's at risk for losing it if he receives a windfall. There are ways to distribute it that will preserve his share. Otherwise, he may lose his funding. Is that what you were talking about with Janet?
Exactly. And you really have to look at where are you in the process and what can you do? And so you may have to go to court and get a judge to allow you to reform the trust, or you may have to decant the trust if you can do that. So really what we want to see is trustee discretion. If the trustee has some discretion on what to do, then we have lots of options on how to preserve the benefits that he's already receiving and use this money to supplement those needs, to give him a better quality of life.
Yeah. I think I'm beginning to understand the problem. If you write a trust for your kids and don't do it correctly, you could impact the federal funding that they get for a disability if they're in a facility. So this has to be solved. I mean, you can, as you're talking about, maybe get a judge to change the trust or something on the back end. But what you do is you help people on the front end avoid this problem in the first place.
Exactly. And just to be clear, there might be other ways to resolve it other than getting a judge involved. That was an example. But all of that is trying to fix a problem. We could avoid a problem by just putting in some clever drafting. Right? It doesn't have to be like magic stuff. I mean, it can be really just thinking logically, hey, what if this happens?
Is it just if Billy is unable to handle his finances through some sort of change in his ability structure, it will be run by the trustee and determine what's best, but he doesn't get the windfall? Like, you don't have to tell me the exact language, but like, what's the tool that you use in the trust to make sure that Billy is taken care of without messing up his chances at getting what he needs to be taken care of with the government help?
So if I already know going into drafting that one of the beneficiaries has some needs that they're receiving public source benefits, then I can say for this beneficiary, do this. Hold it for their benefit in a supplemental needs trust, blah, 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 blah. If I don't know that in advance, I can say, hey, if a beneficiary is at the time of distribution receiving these government-based benefits, you know, whatever that happens to be, and we'll define that pretty broadly, then trustee, you have the authority to hold subject to supplemental needs provisions, and here they are.
So one simple fix like that saves so much hassle on the other end.
Right. I would rather be in front of a problem than chasing a solution.
Then I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Millie. Sorry, I cut you off.
I mean, just on anything, John. That's just like life, right? It's a little pound of prevention or ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah.
It's just better.
708 texted, and Millie, do you do payouts to kids with challenges such as mental health? We are looking for a trust service that would allow a child with bipolar, for example, to have their bills paid, etc. What do you do if you do not want the child to have all the money at once? There used to be a time where they could present bills to the trust and the trust would pay them. Do you do that? We don't want to involve any other people, such as family or friends. That's a great question, Millie. I don't know an answer to that.
I do not serve as trustee. I know of some excellent trustees out there, different banks or companies that will act as trustee, or private trust companies, so an independent trustee, meaning a person, but not related to any of us, really, that runs a trust company and has other people there. And either of those options can collect the bills, take a look, see what they're for. Maybe the beneficiary is going to say, hey, I want to take a trip and do this. I need some money. Or, hey, I want to buy a condo. I need some money. So the trustee can have parameters in the document to evaluate where that person is according to the concerns. So a lot of times I'm drafting and I'm putting in things like things we want to, a list of things we want to encourage, a list of behaviors we want to discourage. If we know someone has a drug or alcohol problem, we could put in clean and sober provisions that there will only be payouts to the person if they're clean and sober, if you would, requiring drug testing. I mean, there's a lot you can do inside the document to protect the beneficiary from themselves and to make the money last for however long it's going to last, but for the care and support of the beneficiary versus just giving it to them outright.
Millie, the person was, first of all, the texter, you mentioned clean and sober. You were not referring to the bipolar. You were just coming up with examples. Of,
just examples.
Exactly.
Yes.
I just want to clear that out.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, what Millie was doing was broadening out the topic, which we appreciate. Do you want to list any examples, or would you prefer the caller call you directly and talk through it a little bit off air? I don't want to put you on the spot because
no, I mean, you know, so I've had clients tell me that they want their kid to be a productive member of society and earn an income, and then I ask the question, well, what if they themselves have a child with some special needs or different abilities and they're going to be the primary care provider. They're not earning an income, but are they not? Is that not beneficial? So we'll talk through sort of what we're getting at. What's the crux of it?
Right.
What don't we want? What are the behaviors that are, you know, inappropriate behaviors?
Right.
Right.
And this also is for mental health issues too, right? You can talk through these things.
You can. And so, you know, I mean, I think we all have family members who have mental health issues. My youngest daughter is going to become a licensed therapist within the next year, which I'm so proud of. But we could all use some assistance at any point in time, really. But some people have truly diagnosed things that can be treated with therapy, with medications, and we want to see those behaviors continuing so that person's living their best life, right? And so we can put in, yeah, the trustee is going to require proof that they're meeting with their counselor, that they're, you know, meeting with their doctors, that they're, you know, that bills get put submitted to trustee and they're only bills for certain purposes,
yeah,
that will be paid.
Millie Palmer going to keep on with us here till 3 o'clock. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'd love to have you on the line. Millie Palmer, we got a follow-up question from the 708, and I can hear the frustration in their text messages. Not at you, Millie, at the general process. They say they've been searching for 2 years to try and find someone to kind of help them out through this process of actually acting as the trustee, right? You said maybe there's some banks out there that do this. This person says they've been searching. Their worry is they want someone to be able to monitor the situation and then pay the bills. That's what you're saying, is that you can help draft a document that names a trustee. And there are, what is it, lawyers, other people, some institutions that you know of that do this?
Exactly.
Like, do they take is there a fee that they take every year for this service? How does that work?
Sure. The corporate trustee will be paid. If the caller wants to give me a jingle, I'll try and find time next week that we could connect and talk specifically about which different trust companies are out there. Additionally, there's companies like caregiver organizations that will also provide this function. And some of those are really great. They'll actually physically check on the person and do check-ins with them and see how they're doing and, you know, talk to them, have a quarterly meeting with the beneficiary and see what's going on so they get eyes on it. I mean, there's a variety out there, and I understand it's frustrating. The organizations generally are paid hourly for their work. There might be an annual fee that encompasses these types of things are covered by the annual fee, and then these services are hourly. But, you know, there's some really good ones out there that I've known for decades that I really like. I think they're good people.
The sector really wants a name, but I want them to call you because they also seem, and look, I'm not in their shoes. They just seem like they're at their wit's end, and I could get it that they just cannot find someone to kind of complete this cycle because they say they have a lawyer and that they swear there's no one in Illinois that does this anymore. But you're saying differently, and I'm not saying one side, but they say they're going to give you a call, okay?
All right. Well, you know, and I mean, as far as throwing names out, without knowing kind of the person and their feelings.
Yeah, it's okay. And I agree. Like, let's do this offline with a specific example. And yeah, we don't want to start throwing names out there. Maybe that one person doesn't do it anymore. Now they're going to get a bunch of calls and they're upset because they heard it on the radio that they don't. So, and I appreciate 708. And I just feel for people going through situations like this. And, we'll get a follow-up on this one, Millie, because this is an important topic.
It really is. It really is. I think, you know, we all want to take care of our kids. I know you have a son now, John, and that urge to care for your child and your child that has struggles, and all of our kids have struggles. They all do. But some of them are more profound than others and will last longer in their lives. And as a parent, all you want to do is care and support for that child.
Absolutely. I'm giving this person the number, and she says thank you, or he or she says thank you, excuse me. Because, yeah, it's a situation where if they're bipolar and that presents a lot of interesting issues, they don't want the person to have the money directly, right? Like, they want it to go through a process. And you mentioned other issues as well that don't have to do with bipolar, but there are a lot of scenarios where that is the case, right?
That's exactly right. And maybe, you know, what they're finding with the corporate trustee, they may only do it if assets are above an X amount in excess, because they may refuse to act if it seems like it's not quite enough there.
Right.
You could get a bookkeeper to do some of this function to pay bills, or some banks will do bookkeeping functions. That's a little more old-fashioned and maybe not as prevalent. But some of those caregiver orgs, I'm pretty sure I know of one that would step in and do that work as well.
Right. So you're saying that some might have stipulations that this person has run into in the past that for whatever reason they don't meet the qualifications. That would make me even more upset, especially if I was hearing that there's a bunch that do it. But regardless, to say that someone can call you in this situation, and I know you will exhaust your list to try and find something that works for someone.
Sure.
I know you would absolutely do that. So 312-981-7200. 815 wants to know, how does a trust work with property in two states?
Well, as long as those are within the United States, we have full faith and credit. So the trust, an Illinois trust can hold Wisconsin real estate and vice versa. Sometimes you'll get into a state that has trickier laws, like a Louisiana. So you want to be careful down there. But a trust is like a box or a bucket. It can hold assets in a variety of places. Outside of the United States, if we wanted to hold, you know, the villa in Italy, first of all, your trust attorney should go there and check it out for you. I think that's really
that's only fair. Get a full tour, make sure it's all on the up and up.
About a week to 2 weeks should do it. okay, just kidding.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, that's going to have laws of that separate non-U.S. jurisdiction. But U.S. property, you know, you would want to go to a local lawyer to make sure the deed, taking it from individual ownership or joint into the trust, is local, complies with local laws, but it's not hard.
Yeah.
You can hold assets all around the U.S.
We got about 2 minutes left, Millie. The common,
it goes so fast.
It goes so fast. The common question we get is, oh my gosh, you said fund the trust, although you didn't say it this week, because I know that always drives people like up the wall, but I remember I asked you about this last week because we had a caller call in, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that was just like, when they say fund the trust, what does that mean? I flippantly said, oh, I'm sure your trust is funded. And you reminded us that, no, this really is an important question to ask and check on the documents. You are saying that a trust is put together. That's great. And a lawyer may help you put some things in the trust. But there's some things that the lawyer doesn't want to bill you for if they're like you. You're not going to bill someone the time to, unless they really want you to help, changing the checking account name, some other things in your name. They then say that is now up to you to do, right? That's what we're talking about, funding the trust, putting the assets in the name of the trust, not your own name.
That's exactly right. And so a lawyer likely won't, unless you're very high net worth or older, and have some issues, most of the time, most people will do their own funding. So us average Joes will do our own funding, meaning we'll go to our bank and say, hey, you know that CD I have that I own individually? I have a trust now. I'd like it to be Millie, the trustee that owns on behalf of my trust. And by the way, it still uses my social, right? So we're going to know what to say to the bank, and the lawyer should be coaching the clients up on how to do that, maybe giving them some really robust written instructions on what to do, and then the clients will do it. And then when that CD comes due and I take that investment and I take it over to my friends at Investment Company A and I open up a stock account, I'm going to tell them, hey, I want that in trust name. And they're going to ask to see documents and help me do that. I'm going to do that for all of my assets. And annually, I'm going to keep track of where things are at, what I own, and how they connect to my trust, whether it's not as owner or as primary beneficiary, like on my life insurance, or as contingent beneficiary, like on my 401k, where the hubby is primary.
Mm-hmm. I think you explained it well there. If people have other questions about all of this stuff, 847-253-8800, NavigantLaw.com. It's you and a whole team over there at Navigant Law helping people through these things. And I think what we learned today, we had calls about kids with issues, right? Which happens, of course. Yeah. Families are complicated. This is...
Are they?
Oh, yeah. It's an X's and O's thing, right, with money, but it's a real emotional thing. The making of a trust and a will may seem like just a couple of documents you sign, but it comes with it a lot of emotions, too. And I know you help people through that with family meetings sometimes, whatever it takes to kind of get people off the ledge to be able to do a big decision like this. And you do it really well, Millie, and we appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your having me on today to talk to some folks. And I hope everyone has a really great rest of the weekend.
Are the is the wildfire bad up there?
You know, it's a little smoggy. Yeah, I have asthma, so I've been hitting my inhaler here and there. And, you know, like everyone else, I got issues.
Hey, well, you have asthma. That's why you're in the house talking to us instead of on the lake. Thanks, Millie. Take care, okay?
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. 847-253-8800.